Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. If you missed the first hour, you've got to catch it. Talk about Israel being fenced in. There's been a cyber attack going from North Korea to South Korea. Your Samsung might not work in the future if things don't change. They're taking 10% of all the bank accounts in Cyprus. Church has given money to the Cyprus government to be able to help them balance their budget, all their assets. What is going on with the Orthodox Church in Cyprus? The Archbishop and thing. We got so many things we're talking about, but this extra hour we'll be talking about Fatherless, a book by Dr. James Dobson and Kirk Bruner. It's a trilogy, the first part of a trilogy. First one's Fatherless, second one's Childless, and the third one is Godless. We'll be talking about Fatherless and how significant that is. You're listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos. Man, that was totally something about South Korea and what's taking place there. And, you know, we're so connected with all the things and stuff and economy today that, you know, if one particular nation's affected, something that you're using or receiving a benefit from is going to be affected.
No doubt.
And so that is just something we got to remember to, and remember that the American soldiers that gave their life in the North, in the Korean War,
to be able, that one.
Yeah, exactly. I remember we were having the honor flights coming out of the Gulf Coast to be able to fly the Korean soldiers back to South Korea, where they're able to see how, what, because back then it was nothing like it is today. The jungles all. And now how blessed they are. And they wanted to honor the soldiers that gave them the freedom that they have.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that crazy?
Wow. And
but it's interesting, too, that spiritual stronghold just stayed up north. And that's why you have North Korea and South Korea today. And but it was pretty cool watching, you know, our fathers that fought in the war in the Korean War be honored.
Isn't that cool?
Yes, it was.
And, look at the difference of prosperity in South Korea versus the oppression in North Korea. It's just like amazing.
It's like, do you really want to give up capitalism? We just need to humble ourselves with capitalism. But you want to be able to give a person the freedom to follow God and to be creative and productive. And if you work hard, you do well. But yeah, I wanted to be able to talk about in this extra hour about Dr. Dobson's book, Fatherless. It is a first part of a trilogy of, first one is Fatherless, second one is Childless, and the third one is Godless. And it's, wow, what do you call it, a faction book? You know, it's taken all the facts and backed up stats, and it's using fictorial characters, you know, fiction, to be able to kind of write it out, which really kind of gives you a dimension. In the very beginning, he's going like, well, you know, listen, if this sounds like you, it's not you. We made these characters up. But, you know, you're reading, oh, my goodness, this is so accurate. And what's interesting about it is, and you got to get the book. It's called Fatherless. You can get it at Amazon.com, or you can go to the VFN Torch right now, VFNTV.com, and you'll see it posted on the Torch and a link to be able to purchase the book. It's kind of based on money. Yeah, money. The love of money is the root of all evil. You know, who gets it, who doesn't get it, how it's dispersed, how it's dispersed. He's got more than me, she's got less than me, I'm that type of thing, or you're sucking my resources, you know, it's all that. It's that whole, anyway. So it's kind of based on the premise that the government sought new ways to be able to balance the budget, and euthanasia was one of the ways, you know, taking the elderly and just helping them off into, or, you know, assisted suicide and all that, or killing, in the way to say it, people. But they refer to it as transitioning them.
Wow.
Yeah, it's like semantics. Don't tell me words don't mean something. Somebody says, I'm getting a transition package. What does that mean? It means you're going to get fired. Yes, you're going to get fired, you know. What a great way to say you're fired, right? We're going to give you a transition package. What's that? A sign pointing to the door, sir.
Right. Or calling somebody a liar.
You're transitioning from in here to out there.
Right.
This doorway is going to help you to do that. Watch.
And the security guard is going to keep you from coming back in here. So you'll be fully transitioioned out there. And he says, well, does that mean I can't be by your car when you go out there? No, anyway. So And so there's these parents that had this child that they found out had a missing chromosome or something, and they loved the child. But then all of this media and things that were going on began to feed into their minds and hearts. You know, maybe our child's not right. Maybe our child needs to be fixed or something. You know, mm-hmm. He's not, she's not. And so they, the wife went to go seek the pastor to get counseling with the pastor. And father was actually tied into the political sphere and was like a writer, like a speech writer or something of that nature. And he was going to have her fixed. You know, he's going to have her, you know, fixed possibly. But the risk of it was either she's going to be fixed or she's going to die. We don't know. But since they're into transitioning, it really, you know, it's like, and so the whole fact of life, as he's writing about in this book, is just like, it's not meaningful anymore. You lived a good life. I mean, hey, you're like 30 now, you know? And then there was others they talked about. There's several different aspects of these different families. One was a doctor, and he was a pediatrician that he delivered babies. Obstetrician, maybe, OBGYN.
Yeah.
And he had a picture of every baby he ever delivered on his wall, like thousands of babies.
Oh, wow.
And, but this whole governmental people and these liberal mindsets, they hated that. They couldn't stand these folks. They called them birthers. That was their name for them, birthers. He's like, here you are having all your children. You know, what's that program, like 19 and counting or something?
Yeah.
They would be called birthers.
Duggars.
The Duggars, they'd be called birthers, which just shows you, by the way, just being a family, you could affect the world.
Wow.
And so they were sneaking around doing this article, acting like they were going to write an article in this big magazine in a positive way. What they're really doing was, you know, juicing him for information so they can just splatter him across the pages. And, but they thought it was negative. What are you doing, you know, promoting birthing all these children? They're taking our resources. We don't need these many people in the world, you know? And it's amazing, the greed and the selfishness and all that. Mm. And, of course, the husband, they had the child that was handicapped. They were debating between his wife and him about, you want to fix her? Why do you want to fix her? You know, I met with a pastor. She's fine. You know, God's created her this way. You know, we love her who she is. We love her.
You say fix her. She sick?
Oh, yeah. She was the one that had, like, the chromosome and, that affected her, something probably more like, that starts with an A.
Autism?
Yeah, more like autism or, I don't think it was even as far as Down syndrome. But either way, you know, they were just thinking like there was this whole line of what right's supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And he was trying to get him there. And so the wife and the husband end up having this dispute. But he's actually the speechwriter for this political guy who's running for president, who's running on transitioning people, who actually, his company, his biggest supporter, are the people who make the drug that injects into the people that transitions them. And this came out through the whole story, was the donor to the political campaign. They're like, why is he giving so much money, and why is he doing this, and why is he doing that? Mm-hmm. And they found out he was the one making the drug that they would inject to people that would cause them to fall asleep and just die.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't know that. And there was this son in another situation that had an elderly mother. And she may have a little dementia going on, but, you know, she knew who she was and what was going on kind of in and out. And they converted nursing homes. They were no longer nursing homes. They were transition stations.
Wow.
So you didn't go there to live. You just, you know.
There to die.
You go there to transition. Right. And in that, so he's taking his mother there to have her interviewed for transition. And so she's thinking, well, he's wanting my son's wanting me to stay, I guess, in this nursing home. She's looking around going, well, I guess it's okay. I mean, I guess it's all right. And he wanted to be a professor. He wanted to go to school to learn how to be a professor. And so she's like, you know, you always did want to be a professor. And so she says, well, I guess, okay. And and then she says, I can stay here. And the people who work in the transition department said, no, there's nobody that stays here. Man, I'm just like right out front. There's nobody that stays here. We just need you to reach up and put your thumbprint on this screen, giving us permission to be able to counsel you in transitioning. And she's like, I'm a little confused. I'm like, oh, this is your son. Oh, no. Your son is trying to take you out because you're using your own money to live on because he wants your money for an education.
Oh, my goodness.
And I'm like, oh, my goodness. And he's kind of putting it off, you know, kind of. But what it boiled down to, he thought he should have had her money.
Mm.
You know, I mean, it's wanting your inheritance is one thing, but killing your parent to have the inheritance is hell. And so, so he's just talking to her, you know, and she goes, she's confused. I mean, anybody that's, you know, in their 80s, they've lived life where you don't transition people, you don't kill them. So you're not thinking, you know, my son's trying to kill me.
Mm-hmm.
And so finally she puts her thumb or something on the screen or whatever, and then she starts finding out what it is. And she says, what is this? Well, you mean, what is this? He says, Ma, you know, you're like, you lived a good life, and,
oh.
And you know, you're suffering, and, you know, you're suffering.
Right.
You know, what he's really saying is, you got some money left, and I'm suffering, having to stop my life to take care of you.
Mm-hmm.
And he was wanting to transition his mother. He wanted to transition his mother. And the government's supporting this. Because they think, mm-hmm. hey, you know, like right now, they're supporting abortion. They're supporting all this stuff. And it's not too far-fetched.
Yeah.
No.
And the issue that these mindset of people who are held captive by Satan is to kill the human race any way you can. Just kill the human race any way you can. And she finally looks at her son, the elderly mother, and says, did you talk to Father so-and-so, whatever his name was?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't he say this is like an immortal sin?
You know? Mm.
And he goes, yeah, yeah, I talked to him. What did he say? And she said, he goes, I think he lied to her and just said something like, it's not. She says, oh. She's like convicted, wow. Going, this is a more immoral sin.
Mm-hmm.
Just for me to take my life. And just all confused, you know, how evil is that to doing that,
wow,
to your mother or to anybody that's elderly.
Wow.
And knowing that they're struggling to get their thoughts together, and you're wanting to, and the whole thing is, the projection of the whole thing was, take her out, take her money, get what you want. And it was amazing.
Wow.
It was totally amazing. And this other child, I'm going to end this in a moment, but this other child that was his whole life, he lived in a fatherless situation with his mother. His mother had to carry the burden of him because he was like paralyzed. And he couldn't really do much. And he felt like he was always a bother. And he, after absorbing all this information, he, and I'm reading this thinking, like, where's the fatherless situation? What's the book? What's called fatherless? You know? Like, help me out. I'm getting to the last chapter here. And so he's saying, I can finally do something heroic. That's how they promoted it. I can transition. I can make, wow, that choice myself, and I'll no longer be a bother to anybody, and I can finally be a hero. I can transition. And then my mother's life will be better. These people's life will be better. And so he's in there about to transition, and his mother runs in there. He's an adult. His mother runs in there to stop it. And they push her back. The stuff goes in. He falls asleep. Last words he says, like, Mom, everything's fine or something. She gets knocked over and hits her head and ends up, he's dead. And so she ends up suing the whole thing, as saying, you know, you should not have killed my son like that. You know, he wasn't in the right state of mind. The transition, that's what kind of provoked everything. And finally, what happened in the context of this was that a little boy who saw his mother lived a terrible life realizes the reason why she was living a terrible life, because he's fatherless. His mother has no husband or father, that she had no husband, no father, and she didn't have anybody in her life.
Mm.
And finally, the whole thing ends with the boy saying, I hate your father. I hate your father. Because this generation, this whole thing came down through, where was the fathers in all this?
Mm.
Where were the fathers that would have stopped all this? Where was the fathers who celebrated family? Mm. Where was the fathers when that son was there with his mother? You know, where was his father at that was saying, get yourself out of here, you know, heathen? You know, don't you come around near her house no more. And where are the fathers that stand up for what's right? Not perfect people. There's nobody perfect. But a father was like, that's crazy. What are you thinking you're doing? That's not your money. That's her money. Mm. Yeah, that's her life. You know, you can't take her life. You know, or the father that stands up and says, you know what? This is how my child is. I'm going to celebrate my child. And I'm going to just love him or her for who they are. And I'm not going to, there is no standard, you know, for perfection in regards to how things are. And nobody has the right to be able to do that. But it's fathers that do that.
Mm-hmm.
But when you pull the fathers out of the fabric of society, all of a sudden life is optional. And people are literally killing themselves or celebrating being killed. And they just change the name of it. And that's what's taking place today. I mean, think about 40 million children aborted. You know, where's their fathers?
Mm-hmm.
Where's their fathers, and how did they get written out of this whole thing? You think about that. And when the Lord hit on my heart, when you think about when Roe versus Wade came to pass in the 1960s, when you know, Sanger came out with the birth control pill. And we'll be playing in the future an actual interview where a lady says, prior to the birth control pill, she says, prior to this, most of us were virgins because we were scared to get pregnant.
Mm.
So that pill took people from a place of living a pure life into sexual promiscuity. And once they actually entered into the first thing they did, once there was birth control, the folks that did they began to divorce their husbands. And begin to write contracts for their husbands. Okay, we'll stay married if it's like this. And begin to just, you know, it is amazing. It's like family just blew apart in the 60s. And it started with controlling or doing away with children in the womb. Mm. And the reason why Roe versus Wade happened, because they found out that birth control pills don't always work.
Mm.
And what they eventually did was they had to find somebody to get a case before the Supreme Court, because that if you're pregnant, you lose the job back then, or you got to go have the baby and you got to raise the baby and my life is over. It wasn't over, ma'am. It was blessed. And then they said, we got to be able to take the child in the womb.
Mm-hmm.
And so women like Gloria Steinem and primarily her and others around her began to promote. They even put a picture of a lady who tried to have an abortion in a hotel room and where she was dead. She laid on the floor. Mm-hmm. And it was just a dramatic thing at that point.
Oh.
But they didn't understand. They're not showing a picture of the aborted children that are dead. You know, it was terrible what happened to that lady. But it's terrible. It's all death is bad like that. But what, it just broke into where we are today. And it's like, you know, all of a sudden fathers are being blamed for everything. But in the 60s, they were told they were worthless and you are our problem. And they ran them off. And then that's when Dr. Dobson began to say, hey, we got to focus on the family back here. We got to focus back on the family. And we didn't. And now he's writing the book Fatherless. Next one, Childless. And the next one is Godless. Understand, we got to go back and say, and you got to ask yourself this question before you go ahead and throw out an answer. If what God wanted you to do, the God that you say you love and that you say you're a Christian, if what you're doing, he said you got to stop doing it and you got to go back and do what you said you would never do again, that you needed to be a mother, you needed to be a father, you needed to function in the context of family, that you need to have that child and not kill that child and abort that child,
mm-hmm.
Would you still serve this God? Would you still serve him if you had to go back and carry your husband's name? Would you still serve this God if you had to listen to your parents and do what's right before? And when you think about it, and if the answer is no, the question is, what God are you serving? You know, what God, if you're not willing to stop what you're doing, whatever it is, I'm not saying it's whatever it is, you got to be open. If you're not open to repent before you even hear what God's saying, you've already made up your mind, there's no sense to hear what God's going to say anyway. You've already made up your mind. You're trying to figure out how God's going to fit to you. God does not fit to us.
Mm-hmm.
We fit to him. We adapt to him. We morph to him. We We line up with him. He is God, and above him there's none other.
That's right.
Listen, if this thing's going to turn, we got to turn. We got to find out what's right again. We got to face the reality. And this is what the Lord showed me. When those women were marching down the street after the birth control pill came and then abortion came, he showed me a whole bunch of women coming down the road. But then he showed me them kind of tripping and stumbling and stepping and on down the road. He's like, what's going on? And then all of a sudden I saw what they were doing was stepping over their babies that were aborted.
Wow.
And then behind that, down that road, was a big, long trail of dead babies.
Mm.
And that's what was birthed out of the 60s in regards to what we call, you know, birth control that came for the wrong reasons and abortion with Roe versus Wade in the 1973, which 40 million children are laying on that road today. That march that started with what was loose to this nation. We got to be willing to say, you know what? And you know, understand this. And I'm talking to the world now. I'm not talking to people who say, I don't love Jesus. I don't want anything to do with God. It's not about those folks at all. I'm talking to the church. It's most people, statistics say, right, John, that most of the abortions come from women and
in the church.
In the church. And so we're not talking about the world. And if you're taking this, if you're listening to this and you're thinking, I can't believe they're telling, no. You've already made your choice. This is talking to the church, people who profess to be followers of Jesus Christ. Are you really ready to follow him? Are you really to really reboot into what family's supposed to be like? Even if it means you got to lay down your life for your family and raise your family. And remember, that's a good thing. It's a good thing to have a family and have a marriage and be a husband and be a wife and be children. It's a good, even though it may be an anomaly in this society, in God, it is a good thing. And you know what? When we get that right in the church, the world's going to have a plumb line. They can say, hey, you get blessed when you live like that.
That's right.
And then they'll start lining up again. The issue is us, the church. We've got to get it right before God in view of his mercy, and we'll begin to see the world change. We'll be right back. You know, when you think about it, there's so many people who talk about God. I mean, you think about, it's amazing how many, you would think that everybody knows God because they talk about God. But, you know, the more you find out, and once you meet God, then you find out people call a lot of things God.
Mm.
And it's not truly God that they're really talking about. It's their perception of what they're making. But you really don't know that until you actually meet God. And the only way to really meet God is to meet him through his son, Jesus Christ. That's what's good. That's the gospel. The gospel, which means good news, you know, John. It just means good news, right? It's just good. The good news is that we couldn't have a relationship with God. It was totally over outside of a bridge, of a doorway, of access to God. And that's what Jesus did for us. And he's the only way to God. And so, you know, you just got to meet him. You got to meet my Father. And if you want to meet him today, if you want to meet him through his son, Jesus Christ, go to meetmyfather.org. That's meetmyfather.org. You can find out my story, you know, my journey, which is just kind of, you know, you think about it. I try to share as much of my story to know how bad I am outside of Jesus Christ. And I had to cut it off at some point. But rest assured that outside of Jesus Christ, there's no way. I'm just, you know, Paul says, of the sinners, I'm the chiefest. And you think about it, you know, we all can say that. And I just thank God for Jesus Christ and what he's done for me. But anyway, if you want to meet God or find out about my journey or others' journey, go to meetmyfather.org today. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him. Well, you know, when I first started in law enforcement, it's history for me now, they issued you this flashlight. And the flashlight they issued was like a plunger. It was like, it was so huge. It had to have all these different batteries in it to be able to be a big bright light. They thought, I don't know. And it was like a plunger. And I remember this one particular time. And you turn it on, it probably light up. I don't know, nothing, you know. But of course, if you're in a real dark, dark place, it was nice to be able to at least know your next 12 inches that you could go.
All right.
And we were in a particular area where we had this suspect that had burglarized and did this crime. And he ran up in these real dark, dark woods. So I jump out of my cruiser. I lock my doors, which is a good thing. Didn't always happen that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I start chasing him in these dark woods to start with my little 12-inch beam of light. And I'm out there, you know, and you're just chasing. You get caught up in this adrenaline back when I used to have adrenaline like that. And you're just running and chasing and running and chasing. And, you know, it's just a miracle that, because you can barely see with that light. And he got so far ahead of me, I couldn't see him. And then all of a sudden my light goes out.
Oh, wow.
Not only was I complaining about the 12-inch beam, but now I had like no inch beam. You know, and I'm out here possibly with this armed burglar in the dark, dark woods, and you couldn't even see. I mean, you could see anything. So I put my back against this real big, huge tree, this huge tree. And because I figured, listen, my back's covered, and I start banging on my flashlight. I'm banging on it, right? Like, come on, you got to work, come on. I'm not saying nothing. I'm just beating on it, beating on it, beating on it, beating on it. And all of a sudden, I hear on the radio, they said, the canines are here. They call my radio, you can hear.
Right.
We're about to lose the canine dogs after the suspect. And I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, I'm blind. I'm in the woods, probably an armed burglar, and I can't see anything. And all of a sudden, I saw like a little crack of light outside the woods, and I just took a beeline for it because the dogs would have not told the difference between me or the suspect. And I'm running for my life. I don't know if I'm going to get shot by this armed man or I'm going to be bit by this armed dog. You know what I'm saying?
Goodness.
And I'm running and running and running. Finally, man, I made it to my car. And long story short, that the suspect was arrested. Of course, the dogs are very good.
Mm.
And got the man arrested. I have him cuffed in the back of my cruiser. And I'm doing the paperwork. And I'm talking. And I finally asked the man, I said, listen, when I was chasing you in the woods and my flashlight went out and I was beating on my flashlight, where were you? And he said, I was on the other side of the tree.
Oh my God.
Is that terrible?
Oh my God.
The one you were standing by?
Yes. On the other side of the tree that I was leaning against the whole time right there.
Oh.
The Lord is good, is he not?
Amazing.
The Lord is good. Welcome back to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and yes, the producer has chosen our intro music for these segments, Pat Hamilton.
I happen to like that intro music.
We had a good time with him last few weeks.
Oh, my goodness. That was so old. That's like Lawrence Welk music. You know what I'm saying?
Lawrence Welk.
Oh, man, the producer's on it, man. He is on it.
Don't encourage him.
Thank you.
Do not encourage him.
He's got to go wrong.
I want exuberance. I want like Chris singing.
I don't think you want that. Right.
Me. Man, this, I know we just talked about it, but this archbishop in Cyprus. Yeah, you got to hear this. CNN talking about how he's given the money and the assets of the church to the government. Listen up.
The Orthodox Church in Cyprus is prepared to help save its country from a fiscal crisis. The Archbishop says he will make the church's assets available to the government for its disposal. After meeting with the Cypriot president, the Archbishop told reporters that he's willing to mortgage the church's considerable holdings in property, banking, and a brewery, and invest it in the government bonds. Cyprus needs 15 billion euros to bail out its banks and shore up government finances. Lawmakers rejected a controversial plan to tax bank accounts after a public outcry.
Think about it. They are going to take everything that they have and mortgage it, including the brewery.
Including the brewery.
Jeez. I guess they're going to take the opiates and the... but it's like, really? I mean, well, how does that work? I mean, was that how intertwined that the church there has become with, you know, the Orthodox Church, and the Archbishop is doing this, and he's literally coming out of the government building.
Where is it?
You can see this. Cyprus.
Cyprus. This is like a very small little.
Where is that?
It's
by Beulah.
Now I understand.
The only guy who came out of there, but
yeah, it's actually where Syria, right to the it's a little island outside. Remember when Paul was on his journey, he went to Cyprus.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, he just told something not true. You do remember his journey to Cyprus?
Well, I don't know specifically. I wasn't there. I remember reading about it.
Yeah. And so,
I think it's tropical.
Yeah, but the somebody invested billions of dollars there. I don't know who it was, Russians or whoever it was. Mm. And they're losing it now. But the big thing about that is the internet, the Federal Reserve is telling them how it's going to be. And because your money, look for your money, at the very top of your money, it says a Federal Reserve note. So what they do is that we give the Federal Reserve a promissory note. We used to give them gold. We don't do that anymore. We just kind of give them bonds. And then they give us little pieces of paper that we call dollar bills. And it comes from them. And then the federal government distributes it out to us. It's called currency. We just don't want to go there. I don't know. It's just brain melting. It's brilliant for the greedy folks who decided to do something like that. But it's not... it's crazy. Anyway, so, and they wanted to separate the government from the money, I believe, when they did that. The Federal Reserve was like, this is a way to get the government out of the money printing business. So give bonds to the Federal Reserve, and then they back those bonds, and then we print the money. And they go, oh, I'm good for this. Go ahead and print up a couple $1 trillion.
The BBC is reporting that Russia has a multi-billion dollars of invested monies in Cyprus.
That's wild.
And including wealthy tycoons. And it says about a third, I think it holds between a third and half of all of their bank deposits, of Cyprus's bank deposits. So they're trying to incorporate Russia in this rescue plan. It's like, very, very interesting.
Yeah, they want to take their rights. They really want to take the mineral rights there. They're wanting, I mean, people are looking for resources. And in the last days, I mean, that's what they're going to be going. You got China, supposedly these soldiers are going to march all the way to Israel to be able to, so many of them, just all the rivers are run dry. Mm-hmm. And going for resources. And these things are pretty interesting. Why would the church give up their brewery? I don't know.
Amazing.
You can find out more and see the Archbishop doing this at the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and you can watch him saying, here is all the assets. I will mortgage it over. Like a mortgage. Why? It was already debt free. Why would you want to get a mortgage, right? It just makes you wonder. Totally makes you wonder. I don't know if Larry Kreider just put out a post I thought was pretty cool called Awake to Righteousness. And Larry Kreider, he wrote the books Foundations of Faith and a few others. He's a real cool dude. And but he says in his Awake to Righteousness, a little post, he says, did you ever wake up on a holiday and find your alarm ringing in the morning and it's normal time? Like, say you're going to get up at 8, and it rings at a normal time. You ever find yourself wake up on a holiday and find your alarm ringing in the morning at a normal time? You wake up and tell yourself you have to go to work, and then you realize, hey, this is a holiday. I can sleep in. And what you're doing at that point, he says, you're awakening to the truth. You see what I'm saying? He says, the Bible tells us to awake to righteousness in 1 Corinthians 15:34. Righteousness means being right with God through faith in Christ. And it has nothing to do with how we feel at the moment. He goes on to write, it has everything to do with our complete dependence on Jesus Christ, who alone makes us righteous, as we trust him by faith. When we believe him, who raised Jesus from the dead, the Bible tells us that we are made righteous through faith. That's Romans 4:24. This is an awesome revelation. Tell yourself the truth. I am a man or woman of God. I can go to work and enjoy it. I can share my faith. I can love my parents. I can raise a family for the Lord regardless of my present circumstances. I can take a step of faith. I will get out of debt. I will be victorious over sin. I will fulfill my God-given destiny. I am righteous through faith in Jesus Christ today. Pretty cool. Mm. We awaken to the God-given truth that we can live righteously and victoriously by grace, by the grace of God. We, when we do that, we are awakening to the righteousness that is in Jesus Christ. Either we trust God and receive his righteousness by faith, or we get religious trying to repay God with our good works for our sins and mistakes. There are many people in mental hospitals, he writes today, that are religious people who have not experienced true righteousness that comes by faith. Righteousness through faith in Christ is the only way to experience true freedom. Awake today to righteousness. Isn't that awesome?
Wow. That's awesome. Yeah.
You know, and
that's
if you've ever been caught up in works, you probably thought about going to a mental institution, trying to repay God for all your stuff. And it's like all day long, it's like 2 pennies and you still owe $1 trillion, right?
Yeah. Mm. And deficit.
It's a huge deficit, right?
No doubt.
And it's just awakening to that. Like you wake up and it's, you know, you're fixing to go to work and you realize, oh my goodness, it's a holiday.
Yeah. It's important to receive it by faith. I remember Jewish Myers talking about that.
What's that?
So you have to receive it by faith.
Right.
I remember Joyce Myers talking about that, and she said she'd get up every morning and declare, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And her declaring that and letting faith arise, you know, her faith was matching her declaration, and she was teaching on that, and I thought it was very powerful.
That's very good, you know, because what happens in those struggles when we don't have the understanding of that, that you'll find where somebody sins or makes a mistake or fails, and all men sin and all men fail, but it's the things that you hate. It's not something, the thing I hate, I do.
Right.
It's not, you know, a contemplation of it. Mm-hmm. And somebody who's moving in works and trying to repay God for their forgiveness is somebody that will repent. They'll say, God, forgive me for the sin. But they'll spend a week or two moping around, you know, beating themselves emotionally, causing everybody else to feel miserable. And it's like, you're moving in self-righteousness. You know, either he forgave you when you legitimately asked and repented, or you're earning it, because all of a sudden after 2 weeks, you're like, oh, I'm all fine. It's like, you know what? You've convinced yourself that you beat on yourself long enough to earn God's forgiveness. And it's like, that ain't enough beating, because you got to go see what happened on the cross. That is the beating that he took for us. And we have to receive what he did by faith for us. That's how awesome it is.
And they died there.
Yeah, which means that it's a powerful moment in your life when you have sin and you're able to go to God boldly and say, Dear God, you know, I've sinned. Forgive me. Cleanse me from this unrighteousness in my life. Give me the power and the grace to turn away from this. That's a powerful thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because by faith, you receive that, and God gives it to you by faith because you had faith. And then he takes your sin and removes it away from you as far as the east is from the west and throws it into the sea of forgetfulness and remembers it no more. That's a powerful thing. But people who struggle with, who haven't awakened to righteousness like Larry Crider's talking about, they just keep bringing it up again and again and again. It's like, didn't you repent from that last year? My goodness. You know, and it's just like, but the thing is that they're trying to earn that, trying to figure out, how do I get out of this dilemma? The dilemma can only be resolved at the cross. It's the only place it can be resolved. Legitimate brokenness, a desire to do right, and asking God to forgive you is what he asks. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. And then you got to trust God then to walk out and be confident that he can empower you to walk boldly before him outside of that sin, because your total dependency is on his finished work on the cross of Christ, and not on your ability to do good, even though you do good, but the good in you is God. We'll be right back. Could you imagine, you know, John G. Lake planted over 5,000 churches in Africa, over 5,000 churches. Mm-hmm. You know, people are getting saved, and within being saved for 30 days,
60 days, you know, 90 days, not only are they actually starting a church gathering, but they're actually starting church gathering, starting another church.
Right.
I mean, it just happens. You know, if we break loose from the flower pot, if we break loose from that thing that's retaining and just maxing out our roots. So listen, a vine is supposed to get, is supposed to go all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can have a beautiful flower in a flower pot. Think of, you know, Charles Simpson and his book. Yeah, I think it's called Vines, Ants, Vines, and
Flower Pots.
Flower Pots. Isn't that interesting? Yeah. And he talks about, you know, vines just meant to grow anywhere and to go anywhere. And Jesus said, I am the vine. Listen, we're supposed to preach the gospel to all, and then the end would come. We're not waiting for somebody to show up and preach it. God's not. We're not waiting on God. God is waiting on us. Imagine if you spend the next 10 years of your life just obeying God. Listen to Steve Hills. He talks about exactly what happens. You can get saved and get trained and get launched into the harvest field. Listen up.
And we lived in Argentina for years. And same thing. We would give an altar call. Someone would come forward, get saved. Next news you know, they've planted 3 churches. Blink your eyes. They've planted 10. Blink your eyes. And some North Americans down the road can't get anything off the road, the ground.
Exactly right.
And I'm going, something's wrong. Something's wrong with the pitch. Let me just ask a couple.
I want to say this. It's the hunger. We're going to have to get hunger. Yes, we could. You could go to India. Right now, you can go to China. As a matter of fact, they're asking for so many to come. But America, the American church, is kind of like, we don't need anything, you know?
Mm-hmm.
There's no hunger. You know, God moves by hunger. If we get hungry, if we say, listen, I'm ready to get all this out of my life. This is not God. All I want is God. And I'm ready to go after God. Listen, if you draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. Listen, this is not a fairy tale. This is eternity. People every day are dying and going to hell. Every day, somebody, maybe it's your neighbor. Maybe it's the guy that just installed your cable in your home. Or maybe it's your appliance repair person. Maybe it's your teacher. Maybe it's your friend. I don't know. But are you telling them about Jesus? Have you break loose from that that's holding you back and begin to sow the gospel of peace? Begin to sow the good news of Jesus Christ. You know, we're doing that at VFN, Vine Fellowship Network. It's VFNfamily.org. If you want to find out something about it, you can be trained. You can be discipled. You can be launched out. You can be connected and rightly related. I mean, you can stay where you are and begin to grow right where you're at. It's amazing. You know, if the kingdom of God is within you, and this is just so exciting. You want to be a part of that. What's wrong in America? We're not hungry. We've fallen into sin. We got to repent. We got to rise up. We got to get hungry. We got to know that God is the only answer. All these other things that are happening that are distracting, they're just demonic distractions trying to keep us out of the ultimate goal of preaching the kingdom of God to all, and then the end will come. He's coming back. Mm-hmm. He's coming back, you know?
That's right.
You know, you can be either gather, you're either a gatherer or a scatterer. He says, if you're not gathering, then you're scattering. You know, you got to be a gatherer. You got to work in going out and winning the lost. God's called us. And listen, you can be a lengthener or a strengthener. You can be part of a team that's lengthening what is, or part of a team that is strengthening what is, but you're part of the advancement of the kingdom of God, which is not building a wing onto a building. It's actually telling another person about Jesus. We'll find out more about that at VFNfamily.org. VFNfamily.org. It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation. That stand with us prayerfully and financially. That just partner on a monthly basis. To financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation, and this nation, by God's grace, to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving.
Welcome back to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat and John. We're going to have top three in just a moment, but I want to be able to talk about the Texas cheerleaders. Texas cheerleaders now are fighting to promote God's word. Remember, they were trying to keep them from being able to put scripture on the banners that the players would bust through the stuff mm-hmm. you used to do when you were playing football. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And
he had a little banner.
Yeah, a little banner. His face is saying all kinds of stuff.
Is it? Is it?
But God is checking him. God is checking him. He's moving in mercy. So the
being humble.
Yeah. Wow. Good.
Just ask me.
And you got to hear this. CBN News is reporting about it. But you remember they were actually talking about early on that they cannot write these scriptures. The students could not write scriptures on a banner. Texas students. It's like,
y'all mess with the wrong people.
don't mess with Texas. But you got to hear this. Listen up.
Sure. All right.
Cheerleaders at an East Texas high school are once again defending the right to display Bible verses at football games. Their stance has earned them national attention and placed them right in the middle of a heated free speech battle. David Brody traveled to Koontz, Texas, where he found overwhelming support for the hometown cheerleaders.
Across the nation, we're known as the best.
The Koontz High School cheerleaders may seem like typical teenage girls. In reality, they're anything but. Take a look at these banners the Koontz football players run through just before their games. The cheerleaders began writing Bible verses on them last fall. I had a chance to meet up with the team, and I asked them why they boldly decided to put their faith on display.
We're just all Christians, and we believe that the Bible is from God, and so if it's from God, why not? That's what we were thinking. Like, it's a positive message, and it's uplifting.
The girls' zeal for God's word was so contagious that it not only inspired their own football team, it caused the opposing teams to want to do the same thing. They also began writing scriptures on their banners. But a national atheist group, the Freedom From Religion Foundation, filed a complaint with the superintendent. They said Bible verses should not be displayed at football games because that basically meant the school was supporting a particular religion. The Texas Association of School Board Lawyers agreed. The cheerleaders said that was a violation of their free speech, and they filed a lawsuit. Their attorney, David Starnes, is working with Liberty Institute on the case.
This case is really all about the rights of students to express their sincerely held religious beliefs at school. The United States Supreme Court said that students do not leave their constitutional rights at the schoolhouse gate.
The case went to court last October, and a judge ruled the cheerleaders could continue to write scriptures on the banners for the rest of the football season. Late last month, the school board brought the issue before the community to hear their opinions. The cheerleaders stood up for their faith once again and received overwhelming support from the local community.
They're good kids. They've been raised right. They know what they believe. And they weren't afraid to stand up and say what they believe and to take whatever came with it.
Koontz is a small town in East Texas, just a few thousand people or so. As a matter of fact, the town's claim to fame is that they are home to the only pair of married armadillos in the entire world. But now the cheerleaders have replaced those armadillos. Even the Texas governor and attorney general have publicly supported the cheerleaders. The attorney general honored them at a recent banquet, and he told me he is proud of the girls for standing on the founding principles of this country.
When you have the courage of your convictions, you can be a messenger for the entire world. These are girls who one day were cheerleaders, and they were transformed into community leaders. Texas and this country are better and prouder because of them.
What's going on in the school? What is everybody saying in the school? Are you guys like, you know, you guys are like the cool, famous cheerleaders, aren't you?
We're still the same people we always were. I mean, this has just helped, like, our football boys and us come closer to each other. But, I mean, everything is still the same at school. Like, we're all still close, and like nobody argues, like we hardly talk about it anymore. Yeah.
So for now, the cheerleaders are waiting for their next court date in June to see if they can continue to proclaim God's word at their high school football game. David Brody, CBN News in Koontz, Texas.
That is so cool that you know, Texas, they say, don't mess with Texas.
Don't mess with them.
Even the cheerleaders are saying, what? What'd you say?
What'd you say? I can't put no scripture with
Yeah, me. The banner says they had it for their football players they have here. And you can see this on the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com. But thanks be to God, which gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't it cool how the other team began to have, well, fine.
That's cool. We're
going to find scripture. And next thing you know, you have all these people that are hearing it in the whole world. This is much better than married armadillos. My goodness.
Married armadillos?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
But it's so cool. You see, when you see this, you can see the VFN Torch. You can see the Attorney General, you know, Abbott down there with these girls, you know, thanking them and affirming them. You know, we got to model ourselves after Texas.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's what attorney generals should be doing, and not just bowing down to what's everything that these few folk, you know, try to do to stir things up. It's like, does that really bother you,
mm-hmm.
you know, to have that? And it's just
all the things we could be talking about what children are doing. We really want to not encourage them to put Bible scripture up. It's like,
right. Really?
Yeah, I was just so proud of these girls in Koontz, Texas, you know, and they're just like, young girls that love Jesus, man, and love each other. Isn't that cool?
Awesome.
That's awesome.
That is so cool, man.
That's awesome.
What's up? Top three,
Well,
man.
It's time for the VFN Torch top three. And the first one that we want to talk about today, you know, I say over 1,000. We're like over 1,300 highlights now on the Torch
and
climbing. But the first one I want to share with you is, will God forgive you dealing with unforgiveness? And this was a great highlight because we talked about whether God will forgive you if you refuse to forgive someone else. And we share out of Matthew 18, verses 21 through 35.
Does it say what man says, or does it say what Jesus said?
Right. Well, huh.
Yeah.
That's right.
I asked the minister recently, I said, well, how come they didn't say so-and-so? They said he wouldn't have no more ministry friends left.
And that's all.
Wow.
Well, we continue to share that. Remember, there was a king who forgave one of his subjects a huge debt that, of course, he could never pay in his lifetime, his children's lifetime. It was, you know, insurmountable.
Right.
And he was forgiven. It was like maybe equivalent to millions of dollars, right? But the same man who was completely free from this debt, later some other men saw him and that he was actually choking out somebody that owed him about $20.
Yeah.
And that wasn't good. Because, of course, they told the king, right? And the word says that we'll be tortured if we don't forgive from our heart.
And tormented,
right?
This is what God will do to you.
Yeah. And that's why many people are experiencing torture today in their bodies and their emotions and their relationships, because they have refused. They refuse to forgive someone who has done them wrong. In fact, you know, part of the Lord's Prayer is, Lord, forgive me as I forgive my debtors. So it's like, if we're not forgiving our debtors, we're saying, Lord, then don't forgive me of my sins. That is not a good place to be. It's better just to let go and forgive them.
Right.
So that, you know, you can receive God's forgiveness and you're not going to be tormented.
So the best thing somebody could do to their enemy is say, hey, don't you dare forgive me.
Yeah. No, because you're supposed to bless and love them, but
I'm just playing.
I know you are. The second highlight I want to share is
reading God. What Pat wrote me.
Oh, is that Pat? Second highlight we want to share is God weighs the heart, and it's a moment of wisdom out of Proverbs 21:20, but we share how God weighs our heart, and because of this, you know, we're totally dependent upon the Lord. We need humility, which is defined as total dependency upon God and respect for other people. And the truth is that God resists the proud. And it just seems like people, they ignore that scripture, not aware of that scripture. It's like, do you understand that if we move in pride, God is resisting you?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that alone should like be motivation to be like, I got to get the pride out of my life. Got to get the pride out of my life. And the truth is that God puts everything on the scale, and it's important not to be overly confident, right, in ourselves. But Jesus said, blessed is those who are poor in spirit. And it's just time to look at our, be aware of our intentions, our motives, because God sees and knows everything, because he absolutely is in control, and he weighs our heart. He knows and sees it all. And the last one I want to share with you today is a gossip separates close friends. And again, this was another moment of wisdom, so powerful. But a perverse man stirs up dissension, and gossip separates close friends, is what Proverbs 16:28 says. And perverse is defined as showing deliberate and obstinate to behave in a way that is unreasonable. And a gossip is one that separates close friends. I mean, it's sad. It's a sad reality. But so often, this sin is repeated and repeated and repeated. And it comes from basically a sinful heart. I mean, gossips fail to deal with their hearts. They have no hope in trying to tame their tongue, as James speaks of. And so, we've said before that a gossip is something that you would say behind someone's back that you wouldn't say in front of their face. And before you know it, you're sharing something that you shouldn't have shared. And the person who heard it has to contend with what was just shared with them. It's the word of God says it goes down like choice morsels. And so they have to quickly prompt, and get it out of their system and share it with somebody else.
Right.
Well, this horrible, horrible thing.
You can feel it too. You can just feel it. It's like, what did you just do to me? Why didn't you just say that to me? Why did you tell me that?
Yeah.
You can feel it. It's a whole other, somebody's telling you something they had no business whatsoever telling you that. And you just feel it.
Yeah.
And it's like, and you got to watch out for that stuff. You got to deal with it. You got to listen. You got to go there and listen to this particular one on the top three.
No doubt.
It's just deadly. It's just deadly.
Yeah.
And it divides close friends.
And a good rule of thumb is that if someone doesn't have authority in that person's life, they don't need to know that information. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That's a good rule of thumb. If that person doesn't have authority to deal with it, whether it's a parent or, what have you, they shouldn't have that information. Not everything needs to be told and shared. These are the top three. I want to encourage you to make sure that you go and watch them, listen to them, and share with a friend.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.